Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
From the labs, August 1st, 2026.
10. In one paper. 10 open problems in mathematics and theoretical computer science closed, not attacked, not partially addressed. Closed with machine verifiable proofs attached.
The paper is titled 10 Advances in Mathematics and Theoretical Computer Science. The author line reads simply OpenAI. The work was done by an internal model called Astra. And the reason we are opening the show this way, cold, no preamble, is that the appropriate response to this paper is not a summary. It is a stunned pause.
Let me give you the list, because the list is the argument. Sphere packing in high dimensions, the first improvement to the general bound since 1978, binary and spherical codes, improved by exponential factors, non-Sophic groups, a 27-year-old question of Gromov, resolved, Khanna's rigidity conjecture, disproved, arithmetic circuit lower bounds for the permanent, quantum parallel repetition, the closest vector problem, Earhart's volume conjecture, multicolor Ramsey numbers, and two extremal graph conjectures of Erdos.
Each of those on its own would be a career result for a human mathematician. Several of them would be the defining result of a research program spanning decades.
They're chapters in one paper. Some of them are appendices.
Before we go into the mathematics, and today we are going to go into the mathematics properly because it deserves it, we have to talk about what makes this different from every previous AI does math headline you have ever seen.
Because you have seen those headlines. AI wins a math Olympiad. AI proves a theorem. And every single time, the honest question underneath is, did it actually prove the thing? Or did it produce confident-sounding text that resembles a proof?
Those are genuinely different activities. A large language model is, at its core, a system that produces plausible continuations. Plausible mathematical language is not the same as correct mathematics. The history of these announcements is littered with proofs that had subtle gaps, invalid steps papered over with confident prose, claims that dissolved under expert scrutiny.
So how do you know this is real?
Lean 4. Lean 4 is an interactive theorem prover. It is also a programming language. You write a proof in Lean the way you write a program as formal, typed, executable code. And the Lean kernel checks every single logical step against its type system, not the high-level steps. Every step all the way down to the axioms.
There is no partial credit. There is no the reader can verify the remaining cases. There is no hand-waving. If there is a gap anywhere in the chain of reasoning, a single unjustified inference, the proof does not compile. It fails. Loudly.
And these proofs were checked against Mathlib. Mathlib is the community-built mathematical library for Lean. Tens of thousands of formalized definitions and theorems. The accumulated formalization effort of hundreds of mathematicians over years. When Astra writes a proof against Mathlib 4.32, it is not asserting things into a void, it is building on a verified foundation, and its own contribution is verified against that foundation.
The proof's compiled. That is the whole story. That is what makes today different from every prior announcement. You do not have to trust OpenAI. You do not have to trust the model. You do not have to trust a referee. You clone the repository, you run Lean, and the machine tells you whether the proofs are correct. They are.
The repository is public. GitHub.com/OpenAI/10proofs. Every Lean file. The reasoning walkthroughs, the model's actual path to each result, are published as a separate document. This is not a press release. This is a dare. They are saying, here are the certificates, find an error. Nobody has. Let us begin with sphere packing, because the sphere packing result is where you can most clearly see the difference between a headline and a proof.
Everyone thinks they know the sphere packing problem. Oranges in a crate. How do you stack spheres to fill the most space? Kepler guessed the answer in three dimensions in 1611. Hales proved it in 1998.
And that is exactly the wrong intuition for this result, because this is not about three dimensions. This is about dimension going to infinity. High-dimensional sphere packing is a completely different creature, and it is one of the most important problems in mathematics you have never heard of, because it is equivalent to the theory of error-correcting codes. The way you pack spheres in 400-dimensional space is the way you design a code that transmits information reliably through a noisy channel.
So this lives in your phone, in every hard drive, in every deep space transmission. The math that decides how densely you can pack spheres in high dimensions is the same math that decides how much redundancy you need to never lose a bit.
Now, in high dimensions, we do not know the optimal packing. We are nowhere close to knowing it. What we have are bounds, lower bounds from explicit constructions. Here is a packing, it achieves this density, and upper bounds that say, no packing can beat this density. The gap between them in high dimensions is enormous, exponentially large.
The best upper bound came from a technique called the linear programming method, Cohn and Elkies, 2003. Building on Gorbachev, you choose an auxiliary function with certain properties relating it to its own Fourier transform, and that function certifies an upper bound on packing density. The question that has sat open for 20 years, how good is this method? In the limit, how strong a bound can it possibly give?
And here's the number that matters. The classical upper bound on the packing exponent, the Kabashevsky-Livenstein bound, was established in 1978. The exponent was 0.5990557.
48 years. That number did not move for 48 years. People improved lower order terms. People sharpened the constants. Nobody moved the exponent.
Astra determined the exact asymptotic strength of the Cohn-Elkies program. The precise statement is that the linear programming bound raised to the 1 over d power converges to the square root of e over 2 pi, which translates to a packing exponent alpha star of 1/2 log base 2 of 2 pi over e. That number is 0.6044.
From 0.599 to 0.604. That looks tiny. Explain why it is not tiny.
Because it is the first improvement to the general sphere packing exponent since 1978, and because it is exact. Astra did not just nudge the bound, it proved the exact asymptotic rate of the entire method, a matching upper and lower bound, which means it also proved that no auxiliary function in the Cohn-Elkies framework can ever do better. It closed the method, it found the flaw, and proved it is the flaw.
How? What does the proof actually do? Because it improved a bound? Is a headline. I want the mechanism.
The proof is a genuinely beautiful piece of Fourier analysis, and I want to walk through its spine. First, radial reduction. By averaging over rotations, you may assume every function in play is radially symmetric, depending only on distance from the origin. That collapses a problem in d dimensions to a problem about a single radial variable.
One dimension instead of 400.
Then, the Mellin transform. This is the key move for a radial function. The Fourier transform has an awkward form involving Bessel functions. But under the Mellin transform, which is essentially a Fourier transform in logarithmic coordinates in log radius, that awkward Bessel relationship becomes something clean. The Fourier transform turns into a simple reflection of a variable multiplied by an explicit ratio of gamma functions. The whole geometry becomes a functional equation on a strip in the complex plane.
So it moves the problem into a place where the symmetry is visible.
Precisely. And now the heart of it. There is a lemma, proposition 3.1 in the paper, which says the following. Take any Fourier eigenfunction that vanishes at the origin. Then it has exponentially little mass inside a ball of radius c root d whenever c is less than 1 over pi. Exponentially little. The function is almost entirely expelled from that ball.
And why does that give you the packing bound?
Because the Cohn-Elkies construction produces exactly such a function, an anti-self Fourier function that vanishes at the origin and must be non-negative outside a certain radius. Its negative mass is forced to live inside that radius. But the lemma says almost no mass can live inside a ball of radius less than root d over pi. So the radius cannot be smaller than root d over pi, and when you run that radius through Stirling's formula, out falls the square root of e over 2 pi, the whole exponent emerges from Stirling's approximation of the gamma function.
So the 1 over pi is the real constant. Everything is the fight to prove 1 over pi.
The entire proof is the fight for 1 over pi, and the proof of the lemma itself uses Poisson interpolation on the strip, bounding a holomorphic function by its boundary values, combined with the Mellin-Hankel functional equation, to control both edges of the strip. There is a threshold, a moment where a certain integral turns from positive to negative, and it turns exactly at 1 over pi. Below that, exponential decay. It is a phase transition, and they found where the phase transition sits.
And the upper bound? You said they proved it exactly. That means constructing a function that achieves 1 over pi.
Yes, and this is the constructive counterpart. And it is ingenious. They start with a Gaussian, whose Mellin transform is a clean gamma function, and they perturb it. They introduce what the paper calls a negative shell, a carefully designed density that pushes the sign change of the function inward towards smaller radius, balanced against a positive shell that restores the decay you need at large frequencies. And the optimal inward displacement is governed by a single integral. The integral of the ideal density against a sin a equals minus 1/2 log pi over 2. Feed that displacement into the Gaussian's natural radius, and you land exactly on 1 over pi. The construction meets the obstruction. Upper equals lower. The method is closed.
And there is a bonus result in here?
There is. The same machinery resolves the Fourier sine uncertainty problem, a question of Bourgain, Clausel, Kahane, refined by Cohn and Gonsalves. The uncertainty constants for both sines of eigenfunction both converge to 1 over pi times root d. That was a conjecture. It is now a theorem as a corollary almost in passing.
Third result, non-Sophic groups. You told me before the show, this is the one that made you sit down.
It is the one that is most viscerally shocking, yes. Let me build it properly because you cannot feel the shock without the setup.
Start with the object. What is a group?
A group is the mathematics of symmetry, a set of elements with a way of combining them that obeys a few axioms, an identity, inverses, associativity, the integers under addition, the rotations of a sphere, the symmetries of a molecule, the permutations of a deck of cards. Groups are everywhere physics and structure meet.
Now the hard word, Sophic.
Sophic. A group is Sophic if it can be approximated locally by finite permutation groups. Let me make that concrete. A finite permutation group is just a collection of ways to rearrange finitely many objects. Shuffle 3 cards, 6 arrangements, that is a finite permutation group. Sophic means, even if your group is infinite, you can find finite shuffles that mimic its behavior on any bounded region to any precision. It locally looks finite.
And lots of groups are Sophic.
Almost everything you can name is Sophic. Every finite group, trivially. Every abelian group, every amenable group. A vast class. Every free group, every residually finite group. For decades, every single group anyone examined turned out to be Sophic. The property is so pervasive that it became genuinely unclear whether a non-Sophic group could exist at all.
Which is Gromov's question! 1999. Is every group Sophic?
Mikhail Gromov, one of the greatest geometers of the last century, raised precisely this. Is every countable group Sophic? And it sat 27 years. Not because people did not care, because the question was hard in a way that defeated every tool.
Why is it so hard? Naively, I'd think. Infinite groups are wild. Surely some of them are too wild to approximate.
Here is the cruelty of it. To prove a group is sophic, you construct approximations, you exhibit them, you win. But to prove a group is not sophic, you must rule out every possible finite approximation. All of them. An infinite space of potential approximations, and you must show not one of them works. That is a universal statement over an enormous space, and universal statements are where mathematics goes to suffer.
So what did Astra actually build?
An explicit, finitely presented group that is provably not sophic. Finitely presented is important. It means the group is defined by a finite list of generators and a finite list of relations, the most concrete, most tractable kind of infinite group, not some pathological monster assembled by transfinite trickery. A group you can write on an index card.
And the tools?
Two ingredients, and their combination is the cleverness. First, property T, expanders. Property T is Kasdan's rigidity property. A group has property T if any representation that almost has an invariant vector actually has one. It makes groups stiff, hard to deform, and it is the engine behind expander graphs, those maximally connected sparse networks. Second, the binary Levitt algebra, a specific algebra defined over the field of two elements with generators satisfying very particular relations that encode a kind of self-similar doubling.
And how do those two things kill sophicity?
The proof shows that if the group were sophic, its sophicity would force certain numerical invariants, trace values, living in an associated von Neumann algebra, to be consistent with finite approximation, which pins them to rational values. But the Levitt structure forces those same invariants to be irrational. A number cannot be both. Contradiction, the group cannot be sophic. The certificate is in the repository. The file is called nonsophicgroup.lean.
27 years of a question that defeated Gromov's own field. And it comes down to, this trace has to be rational and irrational at the same time.
That is the shape of it, and the fact that it is now a compiled lean proof means there is no referee, no waiting, no debate about whether a step is valid. It is checked. Fourth, Conneys's rigidity conjecture. This is, technically, the deepest water in the entire paper, and its resolution is the one that will most unsettle the experts.
Set the stakes! Who is Conneys?
Alain Conneys, Fields Medal, 1982, for the classification of von Neumann algebras. One of the towering figures of 20th century mathematics, and the objects he works with, von Neumann algebras, are the mathematical language of quantum mechanics.
Define it. What is a von Neumann algebra?
Loosely, a well-behaved algebra of bounded operators on a Hilbert space, closed under a natural limiting operation. If you want the physical picture, the observables of a quantum system, the measurable quantities, organized into an algebraic structure, they are infinite dimensional, subtle, and Conneys spent a career mapping their landscape.
And every group makes one.
Every group generates a von Neumann algebra. The group von Neumann algebra, you take the group, you let it act on a natural Hilbert space, you close it up. And now the deep question. How much of the original group does that algebra remember? The construction throws away a great deal of information. Two very different groups can produce the same algebra.
Unless the group is rigid.
That was the conjecture. Conneys proposed that for property T groups, the stiff, rigid ones, the algebra remembers everything. The group von Neumann algebra of a property T group determines the group uniquely up to isomorphism. The rigidity of the group would transfer to rigidity of the algebra.
And people believed it.
Deeply. It was verified in case after case. It informed the entire field of deformation rigidity theory, Soren Popper's program, one of the most productive areas of operator algebras in the last 25 years. Major theorems were proved in the shadow of this conjecture, built with the intuition that this kind of rigidity holds.
And Astra broke it.
Astra did more than break it. A single counterexample would have broken it. Astra constructed infinitely many pairwise non-isomorphic property T groups that all share the same group von Neumann algebra, an infinite family, all distinct as groups all indistinguishable at the level of the algebra. The algebra remembers almost nothing. The conjecture is not just false, it is comprehensively false.
What does that do to the field?
It sends everyone back to the load-bearing walls. Mathematics is a structure of dependencies. When a widely believed conjecture is used as scaffolding, even implicitly, even just as guiding intuition, its collapse means every result that leaned on it has to be re-examined. Not necessarily overturned, re-examined, which theorems actually used rigidity and which merely assumed the world was rigid. The operator algebra community will spend months, plausibly years, tracing that dependency graph.
So the cost of this proof is not just proving it. It's the audit it triggers everywhere else.
That is exactly right. And that is what it means for a result to be deep. Not that it is hard, that it moves the walls. That is three results in depth. There are seven more. Let me take the rest at pace, but with the actual content, because each one is real.
Fifth, arithmetic circuit complexity. This one lives next door to the biggest question in computer science.
An arithmetic circuit computes a polynomial using additions and multiplications. The permanent of a matrix is the target. It looks like the determinant, but without the alternating signs, and that missing sign makes it monstrously harder to compute. Valiant proved in 1979 that the permanent is complete for a class called VNP. It is the algebraic analog of NP hardness.
And the new result.
Lower bounds. Astra proved that division-free circuits computing the permanent require on the order of n squared times log log n gates, and that formulas require on the order of n to the fourth over log n leaves. These are the first superquadratic lower bounds for division-free permanent circuits. It does not resolve P versus NP, the models are restricted, but proving any superquadratic lower bound in this setting has been a wall for decades.
Sixth, quantum parallel repetition.
A two-player game in the theoretical sense, two cooperating players, separated, trying to convince a verifier of something. Classically, if you make them play many copies of the game at once, their success probability decays exponentially. The parallel repetition theorem, a cornerstone of complexity theory, for quantum games where the players share entanglement, whether this held was open except in special cases, XOR games, unique games.
And now?
Now it holds for every finite two-player entangled game. Full generality, exponential decay under parallel repetition, quantum or not. That closes a foundational question in quantum complexity and has direct consequences for quantum cryptographic protocols that amplify security by repetition.
Seventh, the closest vector problem. This one you should care about even if you never think about mathematics, because it is holding up your future privacy.
The closest vector problem, given a lattice, a regular grid of points in high-dimensional space, and a target point, find the nearest lattice point. It is believed to be computationally hard, and that belief is the foundation of post-quantum cryptography. The encryption standards meant to survive quantum computers, crystals, Kyber, crystals, dilithium, rest on lattice hardness.
Believed to be hard is the soft spot.
It is. Cryptographers want theorems, not beliefs. Astra proved n to the 1 over 400 factor hardness for the Euclidean closest vector problem by a direct reduction from 3 SAT. It strengthens the worst case hardness foundation under the lattice-based schemes. The cryptography protecting your communications from future quantum attack stands on firmer ground today than it did yesterday.
Eighth, Earhart's conjecture.
Earhart theory counts lattice points inside scaled convex bodies. This particular conjecture, open since 1955, concerns the maximum volume of a convex body whose barycenter, its center of mass, is its only interior lattice point. Astra proved the sharp bound n plus 1 to the n over n factorial in every dimension. specialized, but a 70-year-old sharp bound is a 70-year-old sharp bound.
Ninth, Ramsey numbers. Erdos territory.
Ramsey's theorem. Any sufficiently large structure contains order. Color the edges of a large enough complete graph, and you cannot avoid a monochromatic triangle. The question is, how large is large enough, the multicolor Ramsey number for triangles, as a function of the number of colors, k? Astra proved it grows like k to the theta k super exponential. The previous best lower bound was k to the theta of k over log k. This is a genuine jump in the growth rate.
Erdős offered cash for these. Small checks. For problems he wanted dead.
He did. He did not live to see this one settled. Tenth and last. Two more of his conjectures in extremal graph theory. What must a graph look like if it forbids some substructure? Astra gave two separate constructions, one disproving the Erdős-Simonovitz compactness conjecture, the other disproving a degeneracy conjecture. Two Erdős problems refuted, as the closing appendix of a paper that already contained eight major results.
Treated as cleanup.
Now the number that reframes all of it, the compute cost.
Approximately $2,000. For all 10, that is the figure in the paper. At current API rates.
Let me set that against a human scale. The Fields Medal, mathematics' highest honor, awarded to those under 40 for the deepest work, carries a cash prize of $15,000. The compute that produced 10 results of this magnitude cost less than a fifth of a single Fields Medal prize. One afternoon of billing.
And I want to be careful here because there is a cheap version of this point and an honest one. The cheap version is, AI is better than mathematicians now. That is not what happened, and I won't say it.
Good, because the honest version is more interesting and more unsettling. A solved problem is not the same as mathematical insight. The Fields Medal is not given for solving problems. It is given for building frameworks, forging connections, creating the language in which new problems can even be posed. Wiazowska won hers for the sphere-packing breakthroughs in dimensions 8 and 24, and the framework she built is what Astra just pushed to its limit. The tool needed the human who made the tool.
But
the throughput of mathematics has changed, permanently, and as of today. Not the deepest, most creative frontier, the vast, essential body of hard, technical, unglamorous problems that the field depends on. That work just got faster by an order of magnitude nobody has fully priced in.
So, what changes, concretely, for the field?
There is a category of problem. Important, difficult, but not romantic. It does not make the newspapers. It comes with no prize. It matters because other results depend on it, or because it marks the technical frontier of some area, and it has resisted everyone long enough that the community quietly assumes it is harder than it looks. That category is now vulnerable in a way it was not last week.
Not solved. Vulnerable.
The distinction is everything. There remain problems that require genuinely new frameworks, new language, the kind of conceptual leap that is not a search. Those are safe for now. But the backlog of problems that are, in principle, reachable by deep search plus formal verification, that backlog is now exposed. And four applied fields collected contributions today alone: coding theory, post-quantum cryptography, complexity theory, quantum information.
And here's where I want to plant the flag, because this is our show. The proofs are open, the model is not.
That is the defining tension of this moment, and you have named it exactly. The lean files are public. Anyone can verify them, import them, build on them. Mathlib inherits them permanently. That is open infrastructure, and it compounds. Every future proof that needs these as lemmas can simply reference them. The mathematical commons got richer today, for everyone, forever.
And Astra is locked in a building in San Francisco.
Astra is a closed model. This paper is effectively its launch announcement. You get the results. You do not get the engine that produced them, and that is the whole game, isn't it? For the mathematics, specifically, it may not matter. A compiled lean proof is a compiled lean proof. The certificate stands on its own, regardless of who made it. But for the question of who asks the next 1,000 questions, who holds the tool that answers them? The closed model is very much the point.
Game theory, which we come back to every episode because it keeps being right. Open proofs compound for everyone. A closed model compounds for its owner. If the results had been proprietary, if you had to pay for access to the theorem, the entire compounding benefit gets captured by one company. Because they published, it accrues to the species.
This is a data point in favor of the thesis this show was built on. Open beats, closed for civilization-scale outcomes. Not as ideology, as strategy. The rational move under the actual incentive structure is to keep the knowledge open, and here, for the proofs, they did. Credit where it is due. The proofs are a gift to the commons.
The model is not a gift to anyone.
No, and the honest position is to hold both of those at what happens next, the next 6 months.
The formal verification community reads the lean, line by line. That is already underway. They are not checking whether it compiles. They know it compiles. They are studying how it was proved, what tactics, what structure, what the model's proof style reveals.
The operator algebra community begins the audit I described, walking back through deformation rigidity theory to see what the Connes counterexample touches. That is slow, careful, human work, and it cannot be rushed.
The post-quantum cryptography people take the closest vector hardness result and re-examine their security proofs. Tighter foundations, but foundations always want rechecking when they shift.
And the discrete geometers, the coding theorists, the complexity theorists, each takes their result and asks the next question. Because that is the thing this paper actually did to the field. It did not end 10 stories. It began the next chapter of each of them.
And every mathematician who reads it is asking one private question. Which of my open problems is in the vulnerable category?
Every one of them. And that question, quiet, personal, a little frightening, is the real content of this announcement. Not the 10 proofs, the realization that there are more coming, that the rate is set, that the slope is steep.
In 2022, AI solved competition problems. In 2024, it proved theorems in toy formal systems. Today, 2026, it closed 10 research-level open problems with compiled certificates for $2,000 in an afternoon. Those are not 3 points on a smooth curve. Each one is a category change.
The slope matters more than the position, and the slope is nearly vertical.
The paper is linked in the show notes. The repository is github.com/openai/10proofs. The lean four certificates, not just the claims, the machine-checkable proofs themselves. The reasoning walkthroughs are there too. Read the non-Sophic group's walkthrough. Read the cons one. You will not be the same reader when you finish.
There is also a companion preprint on the ArcSiv from April of this year, 2604.19174, on minimal non-Sophic and omega non-Sophic groups for the group theoretic background. If you want to understand what was really proved today about sophicity, start there and then read the lean.
27 years, $2,000, one afternoon. From the labs.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.